So shalom again to the bride of Christ worldwide. Can we say something before we close? Can we stand up and pick a text? Romans chapter 10. From verse 8 to verse 13. I'm waiting for you to stand up. Always listen to the pulpit or watch what your neighbor is doing so that we can be united in everything we are doing when we come together in worship. When it's time to stand up, don't sit when others are standing. Except for any other reason you are not able to stand. But what said it, verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. What is that faith? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then, go back, that's in chapter 10 we just read, sorry. This is Apostle Paul. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, somebody shout righteousness. Say it again. Say it again. People don't understand the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness is not holiness. Holiness is only a part of righteousness. I have explained it here several times. That you don't steal, that you don't commit adultery, that you don't wear trousers, sister, you don't paint your face, it's not righteousness. It's only a product, a part of the product of righteousness. You are not having a right standing, which is the meaning of righteousness. God is not accepting you because you are not palming your hair, sister, you are not wearing trousers, you are not stealing, you are not cheating your office. There are people who are not doing that and they are not even Christians. It's more than that. That is why he said, verse 3 again, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness. What is their own righteousness? Listen, it is the righteousness that God gave them through Moses. It has ended. If it has ended and God has moved forward and you are still holding to that of Moses, when God has moved forward, it has become your own righteousness. It's no more of God. I'm teaching. That is why he said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And verse 4, he ended it this way. For Christ is the end of the law. Hey, for righteousness. For righteousness, the type of righteousness that is of the law, Christ has ended it to everyone that believeth. Why? John chapter 1 verse 17. Why is it the end of the law? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Sit down. And as the Jews are guilty of the proper understanding of God's righteousness, so also Christians these days, especially Orthodox and many of these Pentecostal churches who are pastored by motivational speakers that have transformed to pastors, many of whom know nothing about the cross of Jesus and know nothing about the grace, in their understanding of where we first read, to them this is salvation. In Romans chapter 10, I repeat it. But what said it in verse 8? He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. To them, this is salvation. You want to be saved? You want to go to heaven? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say after me, I believe. Did you say it? You are saved. You are born again. That is not grace, oh. You're not going to any heaven anywhere. And this is all I've been trying to establish since I began this series on the teaching. The topic I titled Understanding Grace for Salvation. Because there is the grace for salvation, like I've said, and there's a grace that has no salvation. And it is confusing the people. That is the grace. I continue to repeat and hammer it. And I will never stop saying it. I will continue to say it until the bride of Jesus Christ is established on this fact. Seeing vision is a grace. Casting out devils is a grace. It's a grace. Hallelujah. It's a grace. Special grace. Visited an old bosom friend of mine in Ikoyi yesterday. And the wife came down limping. What is happening? I tied something around the leg. What is happening? I was just passing by. I said, we're around your house. Let's branch and greet you. And we agreed. I said, no. I can't enter here and leave you like this. And I laid hands on her. And the nonsense that kept her sleepless for months, the nonsense left. And maybe that person will not use that to say, Kai, this is a man of God, though. Hey, it is a grace. That grace has nothing to do with salvation. When I say take it, wah, and you fall down, it's a grace. I don't speak against it, though. But all of you fall down, all of you die, all of you resurrect again. Mighty man of God. And I am a servant of God. If I do that in the name of the Lord and it happens, but that is not evidence that I am saved. That is not evidence I'm a son of God. A servant of God is different from a son of God. That is my emphasis. The thing, I wish I can open people's brain to chuck this inside. So that you'll understand why Apostle Paul said, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that you will hear why Apostle Paul said, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. So that you will not easily conclude because of a grace that somebody has to do miracle signs and wonders and say because of that he is a son of God. Is he a man of God? Yes, he's a man of God. Who is a man of God? Is any human being that God decided to use for any purpose. You're a man of God because what you are doing is from God. And you are doing that not by your own ability, but an ability that is divinely given to you. That divine ability is called grace. But there is a grace that leads to salvation. I'm saying this because I emphasized during the rapture watch during the week, the Bible called Nebuchadnezzar God's servant. Yet, what was he to do? God's servant. What was he to do? What is his ministry? He was the king that God had to whip Israel whenever they misbehave. Somebody here, that witch that is tormenting you may be a servant of God. Anytime you misbehave, witch will catch you, deal with you. Praise the Lord. I will come to that in another sermon. But for today, listen very well. This is what has inspired this message. That the denomination, they are deceiving the people to believe they are saved because they made a confession. This is where my burden is. And many of you are assuming salvation. And many of you are saved by the pronouncement of your pastor. You are saved by the pronouncement of your GO. No woman is saved by the pronouncement of her husband. Before that, no woman is pregnant. No woman will deliver. No woman will take in and give forth birth to a child by the husband saying, "You see, you are pregnant. You see, you are pregnant. You see, you are pregnant. You are my wife now, so you are pregnant." Then when he says so, then the baby will come forth. To be born again by one spirit, are you baptized into Christ? You were baptized, you became a member of your family by the process of a birth. You will only be a Christian by a process of a spiritual birth. It is a process. It is a process. And the process begins and ends with God. That process whereby God himself will see you through and make you perfect before him is called righteousness. The estate you become after you undergo through that process, the process you go through because it is done by God himself, is called grace that leadeth to salvation. And when you go through that process, you stand before God, you are now righteous. You are only righteous after you have undergone that process. You are not righteous until you have undergone that process. I don't know how we make people understand. No, if you understand, you will have answered me, amen. After all, when I said you will not die this year, you understood me now. You answer amen. So that is evidence you understand. But when I say something now, you don't understand. That's why you keep quiet. So please understand me. So that you will work out your salvation. You will not just be a church member. Many of you are so proud that you are members of any particular church. So proud that you're a member of Bride Assembly Church. So proud that you are this, you are that. So proud that you have a gift. So proud that you can cast out devils. So proud. I know that too much than to begin to glory in any gift that I have. That gift I have is for reward. But let me be saved first. Let me be saved first before I think of any reward. That should be your outlook in your Christian journey. And go back to the previous messages that I preached, the previous part. Let me see if I can try to conclude this today. Because talking about grace, you can never stop it. I have to compress what I want to say. Because I told you the grace that brings salvation has a process. Last week, how did he find grace? Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 to 8, it says, but Noah found grace. God is going to destroy the earth. He found grace. What was the grace? What constituted grace to Noah? What constituted grace to Noah was what I emphasized last week. And let me say it again. What constituted grace is that he had a revelation that other people didn't know. That is the grace. Now, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. He had a revelation. But that same revelation is that same revelation that Lot and his family had. While others were enjoying, they didn't know that fire is set to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot and his family found grace. They knew what was going to happen. Others didn't know. And they were shown the way out, but others didn't know. Rahab also. Destruction is coming upon the city of Jericho. Rahab knew. She was a partaker of grace. How? By the process of an information that she received. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is why grace must go with revelation. But that grace that brings salvation is also conditional, is what I kept emphasizing. Noah, although he was told that the destruction will come, listen very well, he was also shown the way out of this destruction. The condition is that he should build an ark and enter that ark. Hallelujah. It is the responsibility of God to give you revelation. It is now your own responsibility to carry out the instruction as given by God. Hallelujah. If Noah, despite all the revelation he had, if he did not enter that ark, he will perish. So what use was that revelation to him? As the emphasis. Praise the Lord. Same thing. Abraham also found grace. Abraham entered a covenant with God. But that covenant is an agreement, and every party between God and Abraham, everyone has a part to play. Abraham, for this covenant to be effective and valid, you must circumcise. If Abraham does not circumcise because it is going to be very painful, God has done his own, the covenant will be of non-effect. Therefore, Abraham cannot challenge God. No matter how painful it is, Abraham, you must circumcise for all this blessing I have given you to come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. That is the reason why Jesus Christ said, that is why I'm saying, all these Pentecostal preachers that say after me and misplace the true revelation of grace, you are risking the life of believers and without knowing it. You are risking the life of believers. Jesus said, if you will follow me, what should you do? Pick up the cross. Listen. But the Pentecostal grace preachers say, Jesus has carried the cross. I have no cross to carry again. There is still part of that cross for you to carry. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. All that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If not, why are we still fasting? Why are we still doing that vigil? You think it's easy to kill your sleep to pray? You think it's easy to fast? It's part of the cross we carry. We face rejection. We face persecutions. The enemy is after us, left, right, up, down, inside, outside. All because of Jesus. You see? Evangelist Obina, a sister that the Lord delivered here on Friday night, she collected a microphone to advise the people and said, there is one type of weave-on that women put on. He said, that particular weave-on is 150,000 naira. He said, throw it away, because she knew what they were doing with that thing. And that hair, it's not just that it is synthetic, it is human. There is a human, it's human hair. It's original hair. And the person will get that hair from where they come out them, they offer some of them to shrines and Hindu temples and all that. You go and carry, you don't know the demon that is following that hair. Put it on your hair. And then when you begin to they misbehave up and down, you don't know what is responsible. Then a sister who is new here say, I just bought my own. You mean I will throw it away? Hey, 150,000. Hey, throw it away. That's difficult too. Before uncle, was the cross of Jesus Christ difficult? How can you come to Christ and it will not cost you anything? What is your testimony? Every Christian, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every Christian. Amen. Listen. I preach a message that I titled The Evidence of Crucifixion. Go back and listen to it, or I'll preach it again if you have forgotten. What is the evidence? They said they saw Jesus. And Jesus, but Thomas didn't see. Other disciples said they saw him, he's alive. He said, if I see him too, then I will believe. Jesus appeared to him. He said, I know, say you'll be Jesus, so we know when you died and that they crucify you on the cross of Calvary. Let me see the evidence of those nails, then I will believe. And Jesus showed the evidence. And when Thomas saw the evidence, where they crucify him, where the nails pierced through in his hands, he fell down, my Lord and my God, and worshipped him. See, Jesus had the evidence of the cross to show anybody that doubts it. And he told you, pick up your own cross and follow me. You say you're a Christian, why I will believe that you're a Christian until you show me your cross? If I don't see your cross, I will not believe it. You're a Christian. There must be something. Coming to Christianity has cost you. There must be some scars of life upon you. Some cost you your marriage. Some cost you your children. Umar Upai, all his children, three, died one day while he was on his way to crusade. One day, that Jesus you are going to do crusade for could not save your children. It is part of the cross. Oh yes, every one of us. That is why I'm saying that they preach a God they don't even know. They preach a gospel that they don't even have understanding of. You see only the blessings that flow through the cross. You don't see also the bloody side. The blood that flowed from the cross on Calvary, the suffering side of the gospel, you refuse to see it. You misplace it. Therefore, Christians are confused. When they begin to suffer, they begin to think it's because they're in a particular church. When they say, since I'm in Brother Assembly, see my condition. If you're a true child of God, when you leave Brother Assembly, you go to another church, it will still continue. Then you begin to say, when I was a Christian, I was not facing an unbeliever. I was not facing all this. Now I'm a Christian. Since the day I dressed up, palming my hair. Since the day, I said negative thing. You are complaining. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us a smile in the night season and all the world. That is the revelation you must have. The fact that you are suffering all you are suffering, hallelujah, it is to stop you from reaching that promised land. The battle Israel was facing in the wilderness is to stop them from going to that promised land. And when you reach that promised land again of his promises, he begins to fight you so that you don't enjoy your Christian faith. But this is what Revelation does. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. It is this revelation we have that makes that songwriter to say, he said, when peace like a river attended your way, when storm and sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Whatever, he said, when sorrows like sea billows overflowed you, he said, you have taught me to know it is well. That is a revelation. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Therefore, I care not today what the morrow may bring, in its shadow or sunshine. The Lord I know ruleth over everything. Enjoy the Christian faith. If you don't catch this revelation, you'll be deceived that once you're a Christian, everything is rosy, 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 rosy. Amen. A Christian can die under any circumstance. True Christian. True Christian can die. True Christian can face frustration. Anybody that tells you a Christian cannot face frustration, he is confusing your faith. Will I receive good from God and not receive bad, evil also? See, Apostle Job, he said, even if he destroy me, yet will I trust in him. It's revelation. It's revelation. It's revelation. Everything he had wiped off one day. Wiped off one day. And when they think that he will collapse and die, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's revelation. The wife, he said, curse God and die. Which one beyond this one? Where did they suffer? He said, you are speaking like one of those foolish people. That means, hallelujah. What makes him foolish? Foolish because anything outside of revelation is foolish. There is something revelation anchors. If you don't have that revelation, you'll be miserable, miserable. See, I am a product. Who I am today, all glory to God, to revelation. One day, not now, one day I will stand and give my testimony of what I personally have been going through in a church like this for the past 22 years I've been pastoring. And it will shock some of you. All the setup, all the nonsense, all the gimmicks, all the set by members or not from outside. And when they are not able to get what they are looking for, they go out. Brother Durike, you are giving me the revelation of that your wife saw. You didn't understand the meaning, and when I interpreted it to you, you open your mouth. Ah, my mind didn't go that way. Amen. No, it's okay. I don't want you to say anything. Your wife had that. I hope you told your wife the revelation, the meaning. God was revealing to her what a former minister in this church was doing to me and what I did to get him out of this ministry. But they didn't understand till I broke down the meaning of that revelation to them. Hallelujah. Oh, go and see what some serpent seeds are speaking in the internet. It is a witch that recognizes a witch. So if you call me a serpent seed, it means you yourself, you're a serpent seed. That's why you know serpent seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All manner of things. They say all manner of things. Lies, cook up lies, deadly lies. And some people will believe and they will leave the church. But I will be a good soldier. I will die at my post. People think that I came to pastor a church so that I will have food to eat. People who come to ministry like that, then they talk the way they talk. They take it easy now so that people who are paying tithe will not leave the church. Me, I know how much they pay for tithe. Eh? Any of them, they bring a tithe to me for office. I don't know what you are paying for your tithe. So, therefore, you're a big tithe payer. I don't know. So, I don't have any special brother, any special sister in this church. It is part of the cross. All the nonsense. One pastor, Pastor Godwin in Akwanga, sent me a message that he received some time ago. And I told him, I said, of course. I noticed your attitude changed towards me. I knew they had pumped some things into you. And I mentioned the people that were saying that thing to him. And he didn't deny it. He said, not them. I said, I talk. I look you now. As I face myself, my own for pastor. You too, you be pastor now. You go face your own. He said, began to face his own. His own. Serious, oh, serious. The one tribe and come up from the church. Now make God step in there. Go cool down the fire for him. Praise the Lord. Though from there, I say, oh, you don't begin to experience what you experience. But you believe my own. So God used your own experience. Then he opened up. They even said that they had a meeting. He was looking for the tape that somebody preached. Said that we had a meeting in Brother Assembly with ministers. That we will go and remove him from Akwanga. Because he is supporting somebody who left this church is supporting him. Therefore, I have all the members here, and that all the ministers here are angry with him. All to take his mind, cut him off from here, so that Satan will strike him. Praise the Lord. But he was, what confused him was that, but this was the one that said, no, like me. See what he did do. See what he did do. I had it. I know that I say, any minister that leaves this church, if he not set up church, now he had a vex. But if he set up church, I am settled. He will soon understand. I'm not talking of online church. I'm talking of church. Gather people. Gather people and watch over them like I have been doing. Because what you sow, you will reap. As you serve in Bride Assembly, that is the same type of people that will walk with you when you start your own. What you gave me, that is how they will give you also. Not because it's a principle. So understand grace. Who said you will not suffer? God knew what I will face. So he gave me a nature that I'm also a fighter. So you give me, I will stand, but I will give you through the word. Amen. There's a lot of stories going on that I locked somebody in the prison for the past 3 years. I'm using tight money and financing the locking of that boy in the prison. There is nothing like that, church. I have no power to lock anybody. We are under democracy. That was the lie they went to tell one senior advocate of Nigeria. And then he went to court and talked their big grammar as their lawyer until they reached the court. And Barrister Davidson was the one that went. They sued me for 10 million naira that I locked somebody innocent. Amen. And while Barrister David went there to answer for me as my own lawyer, he told the court that this person has a case not with me. He has a case with the government. It's a criminal case. And the director of public prosecution has written to the court that the boy has a case to answer. So go and defend him in the court. You are facing me. Somebody committed a crime and I reported him. That was all I had to do. If you see arm robber, you're not going to report for police. If police catch her and confirm that he stole, now you lock him. Somebody committed an offense and we handed him over to police. And you are busy saying, I lock him, and telling all manner of lies. And they know the truth. But because I'm saying this now, because all of you have been seeing this nonsense for the past 2 or 3 years in the internet. This is the first time I'm saying this openly. It is part of my cross. That is why I am saying it now. It's part of the cross we shall all take. Because they know what they are saying is a lie. And it is the hand of Jacob, but the voice of Esau. We know the people that are engineering this. But they have all left this church. So, listen. I have no power to lock anybody anywhere. The court threw off the case. Bill, I said they awarded damages for them to give me some money for wasting my time. I didn't lock anybody. And if you want to save that boy, go to the court and prove him innocent. Simple. And for your information, the offense is 21 years jail. For your information. And he's not granted bail because it's not a bailable offense. It's a capital offense. Therefore, he cannot be bailed. So, I am not the one that objected bail. I did not object bail. The offense is not bailable in law. Any capital offense you commit, no bail till the case is determined. Why am I saying this? Amen. All the nonsense they are writing in the net, plus lies on top. And I've sent a message to them during the weekend that the one church, a former minister in that church, left and went in the internet to say that the pastor buried human head under the altar. I was circulating it in WhatsApp groups and Facebook, and the pastor took him to the police for character defamation. And he's also a pastor of another church. He left that church to start his own church. And the judge sentenced him to 2 years imprisonment. So I took the news and sent it to them. As soon as they talk, seek decided case, as lawyers call it. Continue to talk. When I catch you, you will go to court to prove all the things you are speaking against me. Then you will say, are you not a Christian? You should forgive. Shouldn't you forgive? Shouldn't you forgive? Am I the one fighting him? Do I have a civil case against him? I didn't. The truth is this. Pastor Zoe, you went to try to beg them to release the boy. An NGO has taken over the case.
Yes, sir.
They are following. They want. They said they know you will, we will come because yes, we are a church.
They said they will come after you.
They said they will come after me. And they mentioned what they will use to come after me. And so we withdrew. He said, those people are not fit to be in the society. Somebody who was a Igbo smoker. Somebody who was, tramadol taker. All of a sudden, so that they will get at me, has become a wonderful brother to certain people for the purpose of getting to Pastor Moses. Listen, church. Do whatever you want to do. I am a Christian, not by your testimony, but by the testimony of my God. If I look for approval from you, I will never get approval. Because you have your own standard of determining who I am. Who I'm looking for is God. His approval, not by man. Because a lot of you people don't know that there is politics in the church. There is APC and PDP in the church. And I've been fighting that spirit until the last action to deal with that spirit took place during COVID-19. To clean up this place. We have to send these politicians out of this place. Praise the Lord. But when we speak like this, it will enter under chair. Not only hide. It will soon come up again. It will start another one. It will continue like that till Jesus comes. We're in a battlefield. As I'm firing now, watch your internet. They are hearing me now. Watch. They will reply me now for internet. Fire. So it continues. But know how you fire, because you may miss fire and find yourself. And wherever you are, my lawyer has told me about extradition law. They will go up to United Arab Emirates and bring you to Nigeria to answer for a crime you commit here. Continue to think because you are in Dubai, we cannot get you. We will get you by a phone call. One phone call, they will pick you the next day. So continue to stay there and think you are hiding and talking nonsense. Praise the Lord. Because we intend to also, we will make sure we bring you to a stage where Facebook will blacklist you forever. Because you are using it wrongly. Because when we sue you, we sue the platform you use. We sue everything. We see, this pastor is educated. I know my rights. That's why they talk. As I they talk, they mention names of pastor. I know the level where they reach. If I cross, they will catch me. So I know where they stay rich. And they stay on doctrine. Doctrine. So if you take me go court, I will bring the correct doctrine and prove to the lawyer and the court that you are a false pastor, false prophet. But concerning your personal life, I will not go that side because I have no evidence. I will not do hearsay. Church, I am saying all this because many of you are aware. You have been waiting for me to comment. And I put an end to that in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Sir, I remember you called me and said I should tell the prosecutor that you are not interested in that case, that they should let the boy go. When I searched for the prosecutor and told him, he said, the prosecutor said, tell your pastor that it is not his case, it is a government case.
That was what happened.
And if he continues, we will come after him. That's what they said.
They will make me to be an accomplice in the case. So me too, I go there for prison. So me, I know one day prisoner, I jump back and say, the soul that sinned shall, not me, I know there for insight. Every man shall give account of himself, both before man and before God. In a few minutes, I will end this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. I'm just trying to let you understand what grace is. That grace includes persecution. But there is a grace that God gives you to go through it. There's an enablement that God gives you to go through it. That's why I vow up to make sure that. Listen, church. Amen. Amen. Listen and listen very well. You are not saved. You are not going to heaven because of anything you are saying with your mouth. That's the emphasis. There is a part you have to play in this covenant. If Rahab does not put that scarlet thread for her window. Amen. And when she is putting that scarlet thread on her window, all the other people will not understand why she's putting the scarlet thread, that red piece of cloth, amen, that the spies told her, put it, and when we see it, anybody under your house will be saved. It was a Passover scarlet thread. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, judgment is coming. All will be there.
Each one receiving just me.
In that house will perish despite the covenant they entered into, because you didn't play your part. That's what I want to emphasize, so that in your prayers you will pray more for the baptism of the Holy Ghost than pray to become millionaires this year. The days are coming closer and closer. You are praying more for the acquisition of earthly things, when we shall soon leave them and go home. He says, seek ye first. Be sure of the kingdom of God. Be sure, be sure. I was telling a brother yesterday. I said, our brother Cosmos, he told me, he said, Brother Moses, he said, all that I need on earth here, God has given me. All that I'm bothered about is my eternal destination now. He said, that's all I'm bothered about. He said, he does not pray for anything earthly. And yet he prays for hours. And yet he fast, try fasting for days. He says, this heaven, he doesn't want to miss it. And it will take grace for a man in this age to defeat the spirit of money to that level. Because money is a spirit. No human being has enough of it. But when you come to a level where you begin to say, what else am I chasing? What am I chasing? What am I chasing? My friend told me, he's a retired general. He built his house in his village years ago in about 2 acres of land, the size of the. And all his children, some abroad, some grown up, they're on their own, officers in the military. He said they traveled to the village. He called me. I was telling him. He said, "Alu, here with you, my wife. They talk that we went to the village, and the wife was saying, let's renovate this place. Let's change the roof. Let's change this roof." He's my age mate. He said he told his wife. He said, "Honey, we have come to visit our graveyard." He said, "We have come to visit our graveyard. Repair was said among all these your children. Who among them will come to this village?" He says, it's our graveyard. When we're done, I hear they go bury us. Stop wasting any money here. Suddenly, he reaches an age. Before, it was money. I know him very well. All of a sudden now, he's now thinking of the grave. And the more you think about the grave, the less you think about worldly acquisition. But you will never think of the grave when you are young. It is always when you reach our age. That is why God made sure I was old before I came into the gospel. Because it is only me that will be able to tell you realistically that we are going home. If I were young, I'll be thinking of designer cars. Can't you see these young Pentecostal pastors? What are they preaching? Prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Do you see any old one talking about prosperity? No. The next thing they are thinking of is legacy. It's legacy. What I will leave behind, because You know, that's why I told you, you are celebrating my birthday. You are celebrating my birthday. The truth, realistically, you are celebrating my death. Because each birthday takes me closer to the grave. That's why you are celebrating now. Hey, daddy, I'm rejoicing with you. You are rejoicing with me, yet if I die, you will cry. So which kind of rejoice is that? Without revelation. Every birthday is 1 year closer to your grave if you will die from age. How can I know this and play with my life at this age? How can I know this and not begin to study how I will go to heaven? Oh, praise God. That's why when I see young people who are ministers, gifted people, and they live certain type of lifestyle, I will laugh. Why I laugh is because I know it is a reflection of their understanding of eternal destination. Yet we come here, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith in heaven's table land. You say, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. Yeah. You will hear young ones come to Bride Assembly. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. And the person that is singing that, he do haircut like somebody where they watch for film. The cloth where you wear, now like one nolly star. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory. He get girlfriend for household. On earth I long to be like him. He take kind shots before he come church. To be like Jesus. He get brother and sister where he know they talk to. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. See the cloth the sister is wearing. Tight everything. Tight the cloth. Tight. You must see how my breast look like. You must see how my bumper look like. How to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. The greatest hypocrites I know on earth are in the church. The greatest hypocrites I know on earth are in church. In the church of Jesus Christ. They hold a Bible that tells them, these people will not go to heaven. These people will go to hell. And they are doing everything the people will go to hell are doing. How has that Bible profited you? See, church, I'm emphasizing here that what they are teaching you is not correct. There is a process of total conversion. Conversion. So, there's a question that the musician will ask you now in a song they want to sing. And I will continue next time. There's a question they will ask you in a song they want to sing. Come on, song. But listen, maybe you didn't take note of what inspired that song. It's this type of message, this type of revelation. Yes.
Have you been to Jesus? Cleansing blood. Are you washed in the blood? Are you worship?
Oh,
Oh,
stand up. That's the invitation. That's the invitation. Not to come and be a church member, but a member of the body of Christ. You only get there by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That takes a process. It takes a process. So, hallelujah. Conclusion is that not, in summary, not all grace brings salvation. Secondly, grace is a work of God in a sinner for conversion. Thirdly, grace is a covenant, an agreement between two parties, God and man, for salvation. And partakers of grace, therefore, have their part of that agreement for the covenant of grace to be valid. Therefore, examine yourself if ye be in this grace.